Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parent in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing.
If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well, then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
Hello, you're listening to Parent in Hell with...
Behold, hello.
Joey, can you say...
Rob Beckett.
On holder.
Okay.
Rob Beckett.
Can you say Josh Widdicombe?
Josh Widdicombe.
Good job, buddy.
I like
there we
it.
Go.
I like the quite annoyed Aggie. I want to hold it.
Yeah.
From the kid.
This is my three-year-old son, Joseph. It goes without saying that I love the podcast. Fair enough.
Oh, sure. I hate it, but I just want the acclaim of the intro.
Who's that, you saying that? Or the, who are you talking is that? You've cheered me up and made me feel a lot more sane during those endless nights when Joey won't sleep or the days where you clock watch until bedtime. Chin up, Jess. Jess in Southampton, originally from
Trying Kent. To do a comedy show here, Jess. All your fucks out.
Thank you to Jess. Goes without saying, we loved
Cheers,
the
Jess.
Voice note. How are we, Robert?
I'm good. I've got bad news. I've got bad news for you, though, Josh.
Oh no!
I've been hearing things about hand, foot, and mouth.
Oh no! What?
Your fingernails are going to fall out.
They're not going to. We don't do this for the camera.
Yeah.
The end of my fingers. I'll turn it.
Yeah.
If you can see,
they're all blistered.
Yeah, they've all blistered. I've had to put a little plaster on my left finger. You don't realise how much you use your left finger till you've got a plaster on it.
What are you doing with your left finger?
Tell you what I'm doing, Rob, these days. The world's slowest texts. Because I can't use my left thumb on my screen. Because it's reading.
I'm a one-thumber.
You're a one-thumber?
Yeah.
Oh, I am at the moment.
So, yeah, but what I was saying is, Josh, apparently if you have hand, foot and mouth, your fingernails. Yeah.
Oh, no, you've got to be kidding me. Who told you that?
No, it's the thing. Google fingernails, hand, foot and mouth. They fall out eventually because...
I'm not Googling fingernails, hand, foot and mouth. Rose's just walked in. I'm recording this in the kitchen.
Tell Rose your fingernails are going to fall out.
Rose says my fingernails are going to fall out.
Stop it.
Honestly, Google it.
I'm not going to Google it because there'll be images I don't want to see.
Okay, do you want me to read it out to you?
Yeah, read it out.
Complications of hand, foot and mouth.
Yeah, but that's a complication of hand, foot and mouth.
In some cases...
They are pretty gross, your fingers, at the moment.
Rose has just added that my fingers are gross.
They are, I've just seen them. They're disgusting. It says, in some cases, people may lose a fingernail or toenail after having hand, foot and mouth disease.
Oh, God.
Most reports of fingernail and toenail loss have been in men aged between 35 and 45.
You've added to that.
I added that.
Oh,
dear.
Well, so far, my fingernails are holding on in there.
Yeah, but only because you've got a plaster on your thumb.
Holding it on?
I tell you what, I reckon I could imagine the fingernail falling off my wedding finger, but a thumbnail coming off's got a bit... This is disgusting. People don't want to hear this, do they?
Yeah, no, they
anyway,
don't want to hear
but
this.
But let us know how your fingernails and thumb...
Okay, I'll keep you informed over the festive season as to whether I've still got fingernails.
Oh, God, this festive season feels like it's going on for so long.
I've bought, since I last spoke to you on Tuesday, Rob.
Yeah.
I've bought one present.
Okay, who for?
Who for?
Is she in the kitchen?
No, she's not in the kitchen.
All right.
Oh, yeah, I have bought her main present now.
Rose.
Rose, yeah.
Unless someone else is in the presents. Kitchen.
No, Rose left now.
Okay. Who are you in there? Oh, you're on your own. Okay.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I've done. I've bought one present.
I'm really struggling at the moment, Josh, because I've completely checked out for Christmas. It is Christmas. Because I don't know if I said this on the last one, because I've been a bit jet lagged. Well, I'm not jet lagged. I just go to bed at 9 p.m. and wake up at 3:30 a.m. That's normal, isn't it?
Yeah, fine. That's fine.
Yeah,
totally.
That's just a normal regime. Normal daytime regime.
Does Lou need to make you cry out? Is that how it's going to work?
I'll cry out. Like,
she needs to just return to you and rub you back, and then when you start crying, come back in. It's the only way you'll learn. The problem is she's getting you up at 3:30.
Oh, no. Do you know what happened last night, John? Well, basically, I finished my last tour show and then flew back to the UK from Australia, and it snowed, and it's Christmas. My brain can't accept I've still got to go to work. I keep turning up to jobs going, I can't believe... I've flown back from Australia. It snowed. How is it not Christmas? Fuck.
You've checked out for Christmas, Rob. That'd be a good Christmas song. Checked out for Christmas.
Checked out for Christmas. I've got a really good idea for a Christmas film, but I don't want to tell people.
Tell
on
Tom
here.
Parry.
Well, I don't want to tell in case they nick the idea.
Well, this is your way of copywriting it, isn't it? You know, like they say, are you aware of this copywriting thing? You're meant to write it all down and then put it in an envelope and send it to yourself.
Really?
So it's got like a time stamp on it.
Well, okay. Well, I'll tell you another time.
All right, okay.
I was like, that was annoying, isn't it? I'll tell you now. Basically, the idea is that it's a pantomime, and the pantomime is cast, and it's just like people, reality stars or like EastEnders characters, or actors, and then it'll be some that used to be together, and then they have to spend Christmas together because they get snowed in, and they have to spend it in the theatre.
Oh, that's nice.
And
that's nice,
isn't it? Yeah. I don't think anyone's going to make that. Well, if they do, we'll know.
Yeah, Dean Gaffney's already put 10 grand in.
No, this is what happened, Josh. Me and Romesh did ice skating in Sheffield for our Christmas special of Rob and Romesh versus.
So when you say, I keep having to go out and work, it's all kind of relative, isn't it?
You try ice skating in front of 10,000 people, and what happens is...
My Todd Carty.
You get kids that are excited to see all the Disney characters, and then me.
Oh, what, you did it at Frozen?
No, Disney on Ice.
Disney on Ice, sorry.
Anyway, but I did that, came home, got home at 1 a.m, I got driven back because it was a train strike, and I needed to do a blow-off so much, Josh, and you can't find a car, can you, right?
No, but you could open the window.
No, I can't. I'm not on the motorway. You can't. It's too awkward for a long journey to just sit. And I knew I had to do a big one.
In the back?
I'm in the back of the car.
Oh, I'm doing that blow-off.
No, I'm a loud blow-offer, right? Anyway, so I got in and everyone was asleep. It was 1 a.m. and I got into bed and it was so warm and cosy. It was so cold out. And I lay in there and I did a blow-off, a fart, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
The loudest one I've ever done. And it woke Lou up. With a jolt, like there was an intruder. You know, people don't, they wake up like they're just gasping for breath. And then she said, "What was that?" And I had to say, "It was my bottom.
It's my anus.
It's my anus. My anus.
Sorry.
Also, we've had another birthday in our house. It was my youngest birthday.
How did your cake hunt go?
Cake hunt. Yeah, basically, the person making the cake is too ill to make the cake. She's unwell.
Yep.
Everyone's unwell, aren't they, at the moment? It's almost I don't know. Feels like it's the first winter in it without COVID stuff, isn't it? So we're all near each other.
Yeah,
farting.
You can fart all you want. I haven't got any fucking fingernails, mate, so I don't give a shit.
Your little blister thumb. Horrible, horrible little blister thumb. So unfortunately, she's not very well, so she couldn't do it. But anyway, save the day. You came in with your cake-making expert. Is it Coughlin's Bakery?
Coughlin's,
Yeah, so they're helping out. They're making a cake.
Yeah, that's their job.
That got sorted, an Encanto cake, but they don't do character ones, so they're doing ones the right colours, and then we're putting toppers on it, because the party's on Sunday. We did the presents today. One thing that's quite funny and quite diva-ing, I don't know if my daughters are ungrateful or I respect it, sometimes Lou wraps up, like, if she buys some nice clothes for winter, but they need clothes, obviously, for winter, yeah. she'll wrap them up as a Christmas or a birthday present and yeah. go, oh, here's an extra present. Like, here's a present. And my daughters go, clothes aren't presents. We need them.
Are you what?
They don't...
That's not acceptable, Rob. That's not... That.
I respect. They was like, "Mummy, yeah. these aren't presents. These are clothes. We need clothes.
We want only luxury items."
No, but I think they just want toys. They want toys. Like, well, no, it's not a present.
That's incredible.
They don't see clothes as a present. Yeah, obviously, clothes are a present if it's a clothes you want or a specific thing.
Yeah,
but if like,
but if it's just like, here's the clothes I would have bought you anyway. I've wrapped it up.
Yeah, like, oh, well, here's a 5-pack of T-shirts from H&M in different colours.
Yeah,
which
yeah,
is
that's
fine,
shit.
But that is like it doesn't feel like. So I don't know.
If you're a kid, that isn't a present.
Yeah,
I think that's fair.
But I think I don't know if I'm supposed
to
say.
Is Lou just trying to bolster the numbers?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm supposed to say. They're nice stuff. It's quite jazzy. They're like quite like jazzy clothes. They're not too much basic. Yeah. It's not just like pack of knickers. Here's 3 socks for a 5-year-old. But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if we should be telling them off or not.
No, I don't think you can tell people off for not appreciating your shit present.
Exactly. What are the rules on this? But
I think if anything, you should be telling Lou off, Rob.
I'm not going to tell Lou off.
No, I don't think you are.
I'm still knee deep in the
last conversation you had with her. You woke her up with a jolt.
It was a proper like a cartoon like trombone. Like what I used to do. Do you ever remember when you first started dating someone?
Did you cock your leg like a
no,
kind
I
of
didn't.
Like a man in a 70s sitcom?
No, but that's what I normally do. I'm a cheek spreader normally. I've spoken about this. Have you ever?
No.
So once,
Michael's panicking now because we've already overshot with the time. Okay, and he knows it's a late night edit.
Right. Well, I'll quickly tell you this, and we'll get Jared Christmas on. Basically, remember when you used to go and date someone, and you started staying over at their house, and you didn't want to. Do a poo in their house. You didn't even want to do any farts and all that kind of stuff because it's a new relationship. So like, I'd be laying in bed with them, and then like, I'd go to the toilet. But this girl I was in, her toilet was like, it was like an ensuite at like uni, and it was like right in the door. So like, you could hear what was going on in there. So I developed the technique, which is the cheek spreader. So it just silently comes out.
Oh my word!
But then I did one though, because it was hurting so much. I was laying in the bed. Anyway, I got out, I did it, and I pulled my cheeks apart, and I actually timed it 43 seconds.
Oh, I thought you were going to shit yourself. I thought you'd shit yourself.
No, just...
You timed it?
Yeah, like, because I suffer with gas. I can't eat wheat.
I know that. How did you time it? Your watch is on your arm and just holding your cheeks apart.
2 Mississippi. 3 Mississippi. 4 Mississippi. And honestly, I actually felt like I was just going to fall to the floor like a sort of morph suit. Because I was empty. Should we get Jared Christmas on?
Yeah, so do you want to just do a bit of background, Rob? We've had Jared on before. We didn't get to talk about any parenting because I made him tell a long story about Priscilla Presley.
Yes, that feels quite on brand for us, doesn't it? Anyway, well, here's...
So we want to get him back and talk to him about parenting because he's one of our favourite people in the world.
And I want to talk to him about people from New Zealand because he is very different to all the people I met there. And I thought I was getting a country full of Jareds.
And also, crucially, Rob, his surname's Christmas.
Here's Jared Christmas. Jared, you look unbelievable. Have you lost weight?
I have lost weight. Thanks, mate. Thanks. You haven't seen my stomach. Yeah. I have been trying to do 40 push-ups a day.
Yeah? In one go or spreading them out
no,
one at a time?
Spread out. I can barely do 10 in one go. Spread out. I was determined, right? I was like, 40 a day, I'm going to be a machine.
Yeah.
And then... I reckon day 4 was when my elbow said, you're too fat for the strength in your arms. And I've now got tennis elbow.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Brutal.
After 4 days?
4 days.
Have you thought about varying your exercises away from just... I'm not a personal trainer, but I think a pure push-up diet is quite a weird way to approach fitness.
Are you sure? Because it's meant to be an all-over workout, isn't it? It's like arms, bit of core.
Maybe.
If you keep your legs and buns tight.
Oh, you've got to keep your legs and buns tight.
Mate, there's so many YouTube... I've watched so many YouTube videos.
Of people keeping their buns tight?
Yeah.
Well, Jared, this is your second time on the show.
Lucky. Really lucky. A lot of people don't get asked back.
No.
No, it was a great...
A lot of people don't ask to come back.
Sorry, beg to come back.
Jared, for the people that have not listened before, basically you came on before and just told an amazing story about when you worked with Priscilla Presley for like 40 minutes and didn't really talk about your kids.
No, that's true.
How old are your kids? You got two daughters?
Yes, I do. 13-year-old and a 10-year-old.
Right, okay.
And are they fans of Priscilla Presley?
My youngest never met her, but the oldest did. Spent some time with PP. And she gave me a Christmas bauble saying Merry Christmas 2012 Priscilla Presley on it. So that's the first bauble that goes up on the tree.
Wow. Yes.
Talking point, guys. Talking point.
And I don't want to go back to pantomime, but you've just come straight from a panto, haven't you?
So I'm in panto at De Montfort Hall in Leicester.
Oh, nice. That's a lovely venue.
Yeah, with AJ and Curtis Pritchard.
But that's what I was getting to. I want to hear about your daughters, but also I really want to hear about AJ and Curtis Pritchard.
Oh, they're good times, man. They're genuinely... And
so one of them's a dancer from Strictly, right? And the other's from Love Island. Oh, both of them are dancers.
Yeah. So AJ's from Strictly. Curtis did Love Island, but he also did like the Irish version of Dancing with the Stars or something. Mm. Those boys have got... They're like Shakira. Their hips don't lie.
Really?
Yeah. They haven't... Certainly their hips haven't lied to me. I don't know if they're lying to other people. But
which is weird, because with Strictly, a lot of the dancers' hips are lying all the time, aren't they, with their partners?
Big time. But I had a beautiful, beautiful, weird moment this morning when my wife rung me at 10 a.m. and our show was starting at 10 a.m. And she rung me basically going, how do you pop the bonnet on the car? I need to put coolant into it.
Yeah.
So I'm talking her through that. Meanwhile, I can hear through the tannoy that there's a dance number and then I'm on. And so I'm talking it through, putting coolant in the car. And she's a very capable person, but we've just got one of those French cars that the bonnet thing is on the other side, on the passenger side. Anyway, talking her through that. And then she's like, this is so stressful. And I'm like, I'm about to go on stage. And literally hung up from her and then ran straight on. Rock and roll.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son?
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So talk me, your 10 a.m. show, and then...
So all this week we've been doing shows for schools. So we do a 10 a.m. show and then a 1:15 show.
Oh.
But from Saturday, we're at 1 p.m. and 5 p.m.
And is it fun?
It's a lot of fun. It's hard work.
Is it festive? Look,
is it really hard work? You know what I mean? There's a lot of people going on strike who do actual hard work. Yeah. And I'm going, oh, I've had to do two shows a day, guys. I barely have time in between shows to do a Wagamama Katsu curry.
Yeah, but what I would say is, though, after a month of AJ and Curtis Pritchard, you may need a break.
Maybe.
Because they are both so pure and so nice. I would just be like, is there a darkness there? That's all I'm thinking all the time.
It's just sweetness. I'm going to have so many fillings after hanging out with those guys because they're both proper sweet. And Evie Pickerel from CBeebies.
And are your daughters excited about it?
Yeah, big time.
Have you introduced them to the Pritchards?
They haven't got up there yet. They're coming up on the 28th to watch the show.
And are they excited, or have they reached the age, and I hate to say it, where they're embarrassed?
No, 13-year-old wants to be in performing arts. She wants. She does drama and acting. Yeah. So she, I think she watches it going, oh, I'd really like to be doing that.
Yeah.
The 10-year-old loves it.
Great.
Loves it, yeah. She's not embarrassed by me yet.
And what about your wife? What about your wife, Jared? How does she feel about watching you as Buttons?
There's a lot of eye rolling, especially, mate. I ran my material past her, whilst she was trying to do her actual work of marketing for a museum, and I'm sitting there going, "Do you think I can do a joke about the Russian Buttons having a nightmare because Putin keeps trying to push him? Do you think I can do that?" Joey, and she's like, I'm actually trying to do a proper job.
How did the joke go down with the audience?
Not allowed to do it.
Not allowed to do it.
There's been a couple of jokes that not allowed. I'm sure if I'd really pushed it, they just went, do you think that's what people who have spent a lot of money to come to a Christmas show, they want to be reminded about the potential of nuclear war? Yeah, no, fair call, guys.
Yeah, depends how long the second half is, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It might be a welcome relief.
What it's like, you know what it's like being a comedian? Sometimes you're just thinking of the joke, right? And you're like, oh, that's a, yeah. And then it takes that outside eye to sort of go to you, yeah, this is a panto.
And so are you commuting every day to Leicester from Bath?
No, I've got a day off tomorrow, so... I drove back after the show tonight, and so I'll have tomorrow off, and then I'll drive back up on Saturday. I get one day off a week.
Oh, so we've got you on here for your first. You've run back home from the gig straight into your toilet to do a
straight
podcast.
Into the toilet. Oh, look. In all honesty, I used it first and then logged on. I heard my 13-year-old. Sang a couple of Christmas songs. She's learning the guitar.
She did
a bit of that. I caught up with the 10-year-old. She's made a Christmas reef. So we had a bit of a catch up. Now I'm on with you boys.
And what's it like working over Christmas? Do you miss your family?
Yeah, I do. I'm in a, you know, I get sad at night when I'm by myself.
Oh, Jared.
Don't get me wrong.
What are you thinking?
I've watched a lot of Disney Plus.
Yeah.
That's not what you thought you were going to say.
Oh, what did you think I was going to say, Josh?
It wasn't Disney Plus.
After a day of panto, I don't want to chop one out. panto doesn't stir up the loins. It's not.
No, Priscilla Presley's not in it this year, is she?
No, but I tell you what, AJ and Curtis, they've got buns. I mean, they're not going to turn me, but I have looked. I have love. Well, I've caught myself going, oh, man, he's doing more than push-ups. Josh is right.
That's what I was thinking. Is the push-up regime an instant reaction to meeting AJ and Curtis Pritchard?
I think it is, mate. I think it is. I haven't put that much thought into it, but now you've said it, I think I'm feeling inadequate.
They're both so hard, aren't they? Their bodies are so hard.
Chiseled.
Yeah.
You know when blokes are comfortable with who they are and what their body is? So they just sit in their pants.
Oh.
Hey, I've constantly got a T-shirt on the go.
Yeah, me too. Do you know, when I feel like I'm going through a bad period of not happy with the way I'm looking, I wear a T-shirt in bed because I can't even be topless in bed.
Really?
Yeah. And not because of Rose, because I can't bear the thought of looking down on myself. Yeah.
Wow.
I once... during sex, saw my body in the mirror and lost my erection. And so, when's your last one before Christmas? You're doing Christmas Eve?
Christmas Eve, yeah.
And then I drive home.
Lovely. Drive home. Yep. Get home about 11.
Yep.
Do Christmas Day, then drive back up Boxing Day.
Oh, it's a brutal schedule, isn't it?
It is brutal. It's tough on the kids, man. It's tough on the kids. Oh, it's really tough on Amelia, but, you know, it's all about the, I was going to say Benjamins, but. It's not over here, is it?
It's all about the
Prince Charles, isn't it?
The Sterling.
Yeah.
King Charlie.
The Reddies.
The KCs.
Sounds like, it's all like the King Charlie. Sounds like just you're doing it for loads of coke. I've just got a massive coke habit, so the kids are going to have to wait.
Mate, it's the Christmas diet. It's what I talk about when I'm saying snow.
It must be hard on them then, because obviously there'll be a bed by the time you get back, or they're going to stay up for you.
Christmas Eve they won't. New Year's Eve they will.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Oh, nice. Hardcore.
And
hardcore.
What's your Christmas day like as a family?
As a family, morning we do pancakes for breakfast. We open presents. Yeah. And then around about midday, head over to Amelia's parents' place, and the whole family gathers there, and we just basically eat through the day, and it's great.
And with the presents, I found when me and Rose got together, we had different approaches to opening the presents, and I didn't realise how controversial it was.
Okay. Now,
yeah, go on.
You're aware of, you know, you've met me, you know me, so I'll give you the two approaches, and I'll ask you which you think is me.
Yep.
Okay, one of us will open all the presents in turn with everyone seeing each person open their presents so they can enjoy it. One of us thinks it should be a free-for-all where everyone just opens all the presents wherever they want to open their presents, whether the people that gave it to them saw it or not.
Okay, I'm judging by your tone that the second one is Rose's approach. Dripping with disgust.
I'm actually on your side here, Josh, for that. I don't know about you, Jared.
I'm fully on your side.
One at a time. Everyone takes turns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And what time of day makes it last longer.
Yeah. Yeah. But when do you do yours, Jared? And when do you do yours, Josh? What time of the morning or day?
Not quite first thing. It used to be absolute first thing, but the kids are a bit older now, so we can hold them off for maybe 45 minutes till Dad can have at least splash water on his face.
Do you still do stockings?
Yeah. Yeah, don't tell them that, though.
Well, Josh, I imagine you're an afternoon guy after dinner.
No.
Can you imagine holding out that long?
Oh, God.
There are people that do that. Scum. Actual scum.
Sorry. 8 seconds ago, you imagined I was one of them.
Have you heard of these people who don't do presents on Christmas Day anymore? They go out to the Boxing Day sales. Get all the bargains and then hand them over.
Yeah. You're not living. You're not living.
No, you're being dictated by market forces, and that's no way to live.
Exactly.
You're human Bitcoin.
Yeah. I liked the flow of that. I don't fully understand that statement.
Me neither. I don't understand it.
Matt, I was all over it. I wasn't going to question that kind of logic. So I'd go breakfast. Rose then will go, there needs to be some kind of food prep that happens for a bit. Uh-huh. And then we do the presents about 11, maybe. 10 or 11.
That's still a long wait, mate.
How old are your kids? You're half prick.
I'm not half prick.
He's half prick, Jared, isn't he? He's half prick.
He's, mate, I've never met such a semi in my life. How old are your kids?
5 and 1.
Okay, see, they can. The 5-year-old must be complaining.
No, because she's high on the stocking, isn't she?
Oh, she's desperate to help make the lasagna, isn't she?
No, she's not. The lasagna.
Can I chop the courgettes, Dad?
I make the lasagna on Christmas Eve and put it in the. I don't put it in the fridge because there's no room. I put it in the shed outside. That's what happens.
Really?
Yeah.
You leave a lasagna outside overnight.
I tell you, that's one shed that's not getting robbed. Breaking into a shed on Christmas Eve and just finding a veggie lasagna.
Fucking section. Oh, hear about Josh? He's got section. What's he doing? Keeps making lasagnas and leave him in the shed, the weird nutter.
Well, what were you going to leave in the shed? There's not enough room in the fridge, and the shed is basically refrigerated because it's so cold out there.
That should be a sign from the universe that you shouldn't be making it and eating it.
I like the logic of it. I do really like this time of year being able to just leave alcohol outside in an evening.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then I crunch through the snow and go and get my vegetable lasagna on Christmas Day.
God.
I'll be honest, mate. I'd leave it out there. I'd have all intentions of going out and getting it, and then I'd be like, fuck that.
Imagine a fox will poke his nose in, see the lasagna, and jog on.
Do you cover it up?
Yeah, of course I cover it up.
What, with cling film or with tin foil?
A foil, okay. Foil.
Okay. Yeah, now I'm guys.
Christmas morning, I'm going to look out my back window in my garden at the shed and go, Josh has got lasagna in his one.
And you're
what have you got in yours? What have you got in yours? A lawnmower or something?
No, I've got a trifle in there.
What's that? So sorry.
Cottage pie.
Let me put you in a situation. Your fridge reaches capacity.
Yeah. Garage fridge. I've got a garage fridge.
You got a garage fridge.
A garage fridge will change your life.
Dreams really do come true, mate.
Oh, that's not got
always
garage.
Cold beer. Well, shed fridge. You've got power in your fridge. Yeah. You got power in your shed.
The shed fridge will be the same temperature as the shed. What's the point of having the fridge?
Summertime.
Thank you, Jared.
These seasons, mate.
Fucking wake up, mate. Jared, I want to talk to you about in February after the panto's all done.
Yeah,
you're doing your show again.
Yeah,
for kids,
the family show. I like saying family show because when you say kids show, parents automatically switch off. They think, fucking Peppa Pig, isn't it? Whereas I like to take more of the approach of Ben and Holly. I think it's by the same people. There's the same voices in it, but Ben and Holly's got a lot more in it for the parents. A lot more, like significant, like Peppa Pig. She's a spoiled fucking twat.
I hate
and
Peppa.
Daddy, like Pig, Peppa Daddy Pig. Pig is just put upon.
Yeah,
I mean, Mummy Pig's incredible. The real hero is Miss Rabbit.
I've got a claim to Peppa Pig fame.
Go on.
Oh yeah.
When we did ice skating, me and Romesh, the ice skating instructor, her dad invented Peppa Pig.
Oh my God! Why is she bothering doing that job?
I know, minted.
Well, I don't know.
How much is he worth? Do we
so
reckon?
Much.
Feel
so
something,
much.
Isn't it?
He's really bringing home the bacon.
Fill me pockets. That's what he said.
Oh, really good. Really good.
Seriously.
But she was a very nice, well-adjusted person. She wasn't like, you know, people you meet that their family have done well and they can be, but she was very nice, normal and hardworking.
Hard to be arrogant when you're like, my dad invented Peppa Pig.
compared to
my dad's a hotel magnet, or my mum's a invented lingerie.
Yeah,
invented it. She was crazy. She had a really sore ass and went, "Look, I need to do something about this."
Your mum was Ann Summers.
Do you know my mum in the 1980s in Christchurch, New Zealand? Well, when microwaves were first released, she was one of the first microwave salespeople in New Zealand.
Oh,
really?
Wow.
Yeah. She had to do a week long course on microwaving shit.
Yeah.
Seriously, for like 6 months, all our meals were microwaved.
Really?
Because she had to test all these recipes, you know. And back then, they were claiming you could roast a chicken in a fucking microwave.
I think it's quite an easy sell though, because they changed everything. Like, you're not trying to sell the sandwich toaster or something. Microwave is an easy sell.
Yeah,
surely.
My mum was at the sharp end of that spear, mate.
But wasn't there a lot of bad press that you got? It affected you because my mother-in-law still now, if I stop the microwave before it's finished and just pull the door open, she's like, "No, shut the door. The waves will get
waves
out."
Will get
and I turned, I was like, "Part what? I don't know what you're saying." But that was a thing. People were scared of the microwaves, weren't they?
Well, my mum instilled in me a really full-on fear of putting metal in the microwave.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a good fear, right?
I mean, I think it is. But I had a mate when I was a teenager called Dylan, who I was over at his house, and he just went, "Should we have baked beans for lunch?" And I was like, "Yeah, cool." And he just took a can of baked beans.
Oh my God.
Put it straight in the microwave.
Oh.
And you know those moments in life where you go, "No," and then it's too late. And have you ever seen a lightning storm within your house?
No.
Because that is what happens, man. There's lightning bolts going into the can. Mate, it's awesome.
Fuck it out.
I mean, he ruined the microwave and that was it. But it was pretty awesome to watch.
But at least your mum got another sale.
Yeah, it's true. It's part of her plan.
Let's talk about your kids.
Please,
we can't make the same mistake twice.
No. Well, I want to talk about New Zealand as well. New Zealand?
Also, you've just been. About your show.
We'll talk about the show and we'll talk about the New Zealand.
That's kids related.
Right, let's do the show. The show is at the South Bank again and it's your beatbox show with Hobbit.
Yeah, the Mighty Kids beatbox comedy show. And this is our third time at South Bank.
And you sold out last time because you're in the bigger room this time. Is that right?
Yeah, we're in the big room now because we sold out 2 years in a row in the 350, the Elgar room or something.
What kind of what ages is it for?
It's like four to, you know, nearly dead. It's I mean, I shouldn't put that on the advertising.
Don't come if you're dead.
No.
It
really is a family show. There's so much in
right.
it. You know, obviously Hobbit is an incredible beatboxer. We do knock knock jokes, but with beatboxing.
Nice.
You know, we just zhuzh everything up. Yeah, and there's loads of audience interaction. One of the biggest things we do is we create a song from sounds that we get from the audience, like getting kids to make the sound of a seagull going on a roller coaster. And then we record that sound and pop it into a loop station.
Oh, amazing.
And Hobbit just weaves it all together and
incredible.
Creates a song to end on. It's really, really
and
good
you're
fun.
There as well, aren't you?
I'm just dicking around, right? He's bringing the talent. And I am just being like a lunatic ringmaster, interacting with kids.
What's it like to play? Because I've watched enough episodes of Justin's House to think that looks absolutely unplayable.
Yeah.
Like, what's it like to play an audience of, I know there'll be parents there, but primarily children. Is it tough? Is it different?
You learn pretty quick that they don't get self-deprecation. They just take shit at face value. if you do that comedian thing that we all do every now and then, which, you know, you tell a joke and it gets nothing and you comment on that, well, that was a bit rubbish, you know, something like that. Kids just go, oh, it was rubbish then. Oh, okay, it was rubbish. Do you know what I mean? They don't.
Yeah.
They just take it at face value.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to...
Do you think that's why Mr. Tumble goes, oh, that was, you know, when he goes back to, Justin goes back to Mr. Tumble and he goes, oh, that was so funny. And he gives himself a little self-review.
Just reinforce
it.
What's in my spotty bag?
Have you ever met him on the Panto circuit?
I've met him a few times. He's lovely. Yeah, and he's incredible. He's an absolute legend.
Where did you meet
Panto
him?
Panto circuit. Well, I did a kids show, a CBBC show called The Joke Machine.
Yeah.
Where we got kids to tell me jokes. And I was like this alien from outer space.
Mm.
And I beamed kids into my UFO. And they told me a joke. And if I liked it, celebrated it. And if I didn't like it, I ejected them out of the spaceship or unleashed my...
Like the end of Graham Norton.
Yeah, but, you know, digitally affected firing a kid out of a spaceship or releasing a dinosaur to crush them. There were jokes that if the same jokes kept coming up, like, what do you call cheese that's not yours? Nacho cheese. And whenever that one came up, it would cut to a clip of me, you know, with maracas and being culturally sensitive.
It was a different time.
We cut you off from your story time. Jared. Sorry about Mr. Right. Tumble. What was you saying? You were talking about the...
I met him through doing CBBC stuff.
Oh, and what was he like? What's
really
going
nice.
On there? What's going on there?
I know, that's what I thought. I thought there's got to be a sinister side. But the guy is straight up goddamn likable.
But the show, the Mighty Kids Beatbox Comedy Show, it's 15th of February, 11 a.m. in half term. It's an hour long. And I think it's pretty good value. It's 12 quid for adults, 9 quid for kids. Uh-huh. And then you're up in the South Bank, which is an amazing venue. And then you're out and about in London for a bit of lunch straight after. Because it's quite a good
the big
time.
Sell.
He's done 11 a huge AM's sell.
A good, 11 a.m. is a great time. The kids are still fresh.
Yeah.
They've had breakfast. Give them some sweets, and then by the time they're losing their mind, straight in for a bit of lunch, then home. You don't want to be out late. No one wants a 5 p.m. show, kids.
They're exhausted by then. And it's part of the Imagine Festival that South Bank does. So there's loads of stuff going on.
Oh, brilliant. Definitely loads get some tickets. Jared, can I talk to you about New Zealand quickly and your kids?
You can talk to me about whatever you want, mate.
So I went to New Zealand, right, on tour, and you gave me a good recommendation for dinner. I was expecting lots of Jared Christmases. Big fun. Whee! That's the New Zealanders. They're not like you, are they, Jared?
No, mate.
Is this why he left?
Left, forced out, mate.
They're so repressed and
they were like,
quiet and nervous.
Basically, when I left, they said, mate, you've got too much enthusiasm.
yes. I thought I was going mad.
So yeah, it's the same reason we want to get rid of Rob.
Yeah. But they are really... And what's weird, because Australians are so laid back and chilled, and everything takes ages when they talk. But New Zealand, they talk really quick, even though there's no rush. There's nothing going on.
No. And also, did you find audiences would hold back quite a bit until the end?
Yeah, they're a bit like quiet and in themselves. You have to try and get them out of their shell.
Yeah,
so even if someone come in late and I was like, oh, hello, where you been, and being polite, they would ignore me. Even if I was like a centimetre from their face, they'd just look down and get to their seat.
Yeah, they're like, mate, some shit went down. I just don't want to bloody talk about it. I'm here for you to cheer me up. So
my name is Cross.
Let's just do that, yeah?
yeah.
Oh, yeah, nah. I'm going to go see Rob Beckett, eh? Did you have a lime milkshake?
I didn't have a lime milkshake. I went to the White Lady place, the White Lady Burger, the shack in thingy. I just couldn't believe. I was expecting a country full of people like you.
Nah.
And they're very quiet.
Yeah.
Have you taken your kids back there, Jared?
Yeah.
Do they like it?
Weirdly, as what popped into my head was a memory that Maggie, my oldest, had her first ever donut in New Zealand.
Wow.
She was like, oh my gosh, she must have been four. And we realized, oh, we're awful parents. We've not given her a donut in her life. Like, four's quite late to get a donut.
You think? Yeah. I don't know what my first donut was.
I think it is.
But I don't think you should beat yourself up. It's not like you've said she couldn't have one. She just never asked for one.
Yeah, but
it's not like it was vegetables or water.
I've not been able to let it go, Rob.
What,
it's just been plaguing me. So with my youngest daughter, that's all she has is donuts. Because you know how you correct your parenting mistakes with the second one, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They call shops dairies. You know, like the little
dairies,
local like corner shops or little shops in your house are called dairy, because that's where you get your milk from.
Corner dairy. Yeah.
Would you ever go back?
Yeah.
For good.
Oh, for good. Are you trying to tell me something, Josh? Can you leave for good?
He's just got a gig on GB News.
I got asked to go on that.
Did you?
Yeah. I said no.
Good decision.
Yeah, I think it was a strong decision. I was just like, I don't think it's my cup of tea, mate. And that was when I realised I've become a bit British. I don't know if I would move back there because, you know, I've been here 22 years now and, you know, I'd have to uproot everything. I think if disaster struck, if my wife finally realized I have married a dickhead and was like, I'm out, I'd then be like, I think I might need to retreat to New Zealand. Mm.
To the homeland.
Yeah.
That's an interesting decision.
It's a fun game, isn't it? What would you do if you got divorced?
Yeah, what would I do?
A new question.
Welcome to parenting hell. Yeah.
That could be our final question. Our new final question. Obviously, it's going well at the moment, but what would you do if you got divorced?
Well, have you gone to the doctors and spoken to them about getting a vasectomy?
No, we haven't done that.
Mate, they ask you weird shit like that. You go in and they go, I've not had the vasectomy yet. I was full on
not certain about your marriage then.
I was full on prepping to get it, and then COVID. But I went into the doctors and said, "Can I book in for a vasectomy?"
Can I ask quickly what prompted you to do, like, because I'm genuinely, what was the decision? Was that yours? Was it both of you?
Joint decision. Yeah.
Who brought it up?
And
first.
Also, I'm a big Raw Dog fan.
How did it come?
Raw Dog fan. You know me, I'm Bareback Billy.
No, it was kind of a joint decision.
Yeah.
You know,
who brought it up first? Do you remember?
It was me. Yeah.
So have you had it done, or are you going to?
No, I haven't had it done, and now we're kind of going.
Doesn't matter. You might have another kid.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Really? No. God, no. No way.
So what's it? Talk me through the doctor's appointment.
So I didn't even get to the doctor. So I went to see the doctor about something else. Right. If you want to know, rash on the top of my feet.
What was it?
Eczema. I've now got a topical sort of hydrocortisone cream.
Lovely.
That I put on there. It's a recurring thing when my feet get really hot.
Can I ask a question? Do you put it on and rub it in with your hands, or do you use the bottom of your feet?
The bottom of the other foot.
I thought you were going to ask if I use my willy.
No.
Yeah. And then I said, hey, can I book into for a vasectomy? And he said, yes, but you need to do a consultation appointment first. And your wife has to come along to that. And I was like, why? I mean, she's not going to do it.
How do you know I'm not single?
Well, Yeah, that's true. I mean, he did have my file there.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and he had asked me really personal questions.
Do you find sometimes the doctors, when you go for something, they write that letter and go, Jared Christmas is a 41-year-old comedian, and they put like little extra information. Have you ever read that?
No.
What do you mean? What are they writing to?
Most of the time, the doctor's one for me is Jared Christmas thinks he's a comedian. That hurts.
He's a straight man for a beatboxer.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Your skin refuses to be defined by age. That's why Agency Design, Future Formula, a personalized anti-aging formula prescribed by a dermatology provider to treat fine lines, wrinkles, dark spots, and more. Agency has clinically proven ingredients like tretinoin, which is up to 20 times stronger than over-the-counter retinol. Future Formula by Agency. Get your first month free at withagency.com. That's withagency.com. $4.95 shipping and handling, subject to consultation. Subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Right, sorry. So he said, your wife's got to come in.
Your wife's got to come in for it as well. And I said, why? And he said, because we need to make sure that you both agree with this decision.
Okay.
And that you're mentally stable and you will be asked questions about, like, because he said, for instance, what happens if you split up and then you meet someone else and you want to have a family with them? And I was like, hang on. I came in for itchy feet, and now I'm imagining...
Yeah, but you don't want that conversation sat next to your wife.
No, that's probably awkward.
That should be like one-on-one with a doctor going, well...
No. Yeah, look, doc, we might split up, but I don't want any more kids, so it's fine.
Yeah.
So you never went in for the...
Mate, I'm still popping out live swimmers.
Jared, the danger here is, though, you get a little bit overconfident, bit cocky.
Yeah.
Before you know it, you've got another kid at the age of 48.
I know. And that's true.
That's the danger here, isn't it? If you like a fluke of pregnancy.
Yeah.
One thing Josh really wants to ask, and I want to know as well, what's it like being called Christmas at Christmas?
Yeah.
Okay. So I mean, let's do it. I don't know if you want a deep dive.
Yeah, let's deep dive.
I do want a deep dive, yeah.
So obviously got shit at school.
Yeah.
I went to a all-boys secondary school for a while until I... left. And genuinely, a kid joined my class called Richard Puller, Dick Puller. And mate, he started taking all the heat, and I loved that guy. Yeah. He took a lot of heat away from me.
Dick Puller.
Yeah,
Big up Dick Puller.
Dick Puller turns up, heats off me for a bit. But I remember as a kid, there were, I think, 6 other Christmases in the phone book. And I know that because I prank called them.
Right.
Because we were getting prank phone calls.
Were you?
Yeah. I mean, come on, it was in the early 90s.
What kind of pranks was it?
Hi, is Santa there?
Oh, fucking hell.
And
give it another minute before you dial the number. Have a think.
Mate, my dad gave me the best comeback for it. He said, look, if anybody rings up and asks for Santa, you just say to them, you've got the wrong number. His surname's Claus. And it just shut them right down, man.
Yeah, just
shut them right down.
Answered it seriously.
Yeah. And by the way, my dad is the same bloke who, when we were in a restaurant one time as kids with my mum and dad, and We were getting really bad service. And my dad just straight faced it, called the waiter over and said, can I speak to Kermit? And the waiter said, Kermit? Kermit doesn't work here. And my dad said, well, who's running this Muppet show?
Oh, mate, hero, Christmas hero.
What a moment.
What is your dad's first name?
Chris.
No.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Chris Christmas. Yeah.
He's not called Chris Christmas.
He is called Chris
he's
Christmas.
He's not. 100%.
I swear on his
own. Chris Christmas.
He's not called Chris Christmas.
Oh, my God. Stop. I do stand up about it because my whole family is riddled with ridiculous names.
There's no way like, Chris Christmas.
Even my name is spelled J-A-R-R-E-D. That's Jarred. And my dad's Chris Christmas.
Chris Christmas.
Unless you want the tongue twister, which is Christopher Christmas.
Surely Christian.
Do you know the best one? This is the best one. Okay, there's a couple of good ones. My auntie.
My mom's called Ramadan.
My auntie, yeah. Who married my dad's brother, her name is Carol Christmas. So backwards. Yeah.
Oh, yes, please. But at least she's married into it. Your dad's parents have made the decision consciously.
Yeah, they just went for it. Considering his brother's called Raymond Christmas. That's a great name, isn't it? Raymond Christmas. So backwards, it's Christmas Ray. That sounds like something joyful to get shot by a visiting alien. He's hit me with the Christmas Ray.
And so your tinsel. Your daughter's Christmases?
Yeah, of course they are.
So how's that going in the UK? Well, I thought you might have taken your wife's name to spare them.
I did not... I did not put any demands on my wife to take my surname.
What's your wife's? Oh, so did she take your name?
She did. Yeah,
but
she wanted to.
What's her name?
Webb with two B's. And I was bang up for all of it. I was up for her not taking the name because I was like, I know the burden I've had.
Yes,
and you're willingly taking this on board.
And does that make Christmas a bigger thing in your house?
No. No.
What does that mean? I don't know. I think if I was called Christmas, I'd feel I needed to give it an extra 10%. It's my thing. Yeah,
maybe.
I don't think
that's how it works. Like, I don't think anybody with the surname Fisher is just like, oh, we better get into fishing.
But when you're doing panto at Christmas time, do you trade on a surname?
I hope they booked me because they like what I do.
No. I didn't mean you get booked for that. I mean, do you on stage go, I've got a couple of gags?
No, because I'm playing Buttons.
Buttons Christmas, you could be.
Oh, wow, that would make sense.
I'm so tired.
So people be in the panto going, I can't deal with this. Is it real? Is it fake? Is he playing a character? What's going on here?
Buttons Christmas. Oh, and how are your kids getting on with the surname Christmas? Do they get stuff at school? Or is it
I don't think they do, you know. It's a different generation now.
Mm.
I've just heard a lot of kids telling my daughters that they really like their surname. And that's been the big change, is that I'm hardened from the 90s of taking bullets, man. And so I... Like checking into hotels at Christmas time. Yeah. Hi, I've got a booking for Christmas. Oh, you're a bit early. Or, you know, and I used to hate it. I used to just bloody give them Stonehenge face.
Do you change it to Easter for the spring?
Yeah, I'm adaptable. And I change it to Pancake Day. But it was actually my wife Amelia said, why don't you just go with it? Because no one's saying it maliciously.
Yeah.
They're just saying it because it's a really interesting name. And she said, they smile when they read. Do you know what I mean? So I made a conscious decision about 5 years ago. I'm going to lean into this shit and see if my wife is right. And I'll be honest, I didn't think she was. Yeah. I thought, no. But then I rock up to a hotel. Oh, Christmas, this is a lovely, what a lovely surname. I'm like, oh, thank you. And then she said, I shouldn't say this, but is your mum named Mary? And I went,
oh, that's good.
Can you? And I just went, can you imagine if it was? And she's just laughing. And suddenly I'm having a great positive interaction with them. There was one hotel I was checking into and the guy said,
did they say there's no room at the inn?
No, because that's That's comedian level.
Yeah.
Banter.
And also, as we all know, the Premier Inn in Bethlehem has got 1,000 rooms.
It does.
It's the biggest one. Yeah. It's where Lenny Henry did the advert.
Yeah. I did get a good one that I, where the guy said, have you, do you need car parking? And he said, I'll be honest, you can probably just put the sleigh on the roof. And
oh, that is strong. Like, that is good.
Yeah. I thought that's strong.
I would say it's quite, being called Christmas is like, oh, people are excited about that. And they'll go home and go, there's a guy called Christmas. Where if you're Dick Puller, you're being laughed at.
Yeah. You can't lean into Dick Puller.
People are excited to meet you. People are excited to take the piss out of Dick Puller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He must have changed his name. Surely
Gary Rich.
Changed it to Stroker.
Or he's one of those people now who is like, my name is Richard.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
one of
Richard.
Them.
Yeah. You're like, here we go.
Yeah.
bit of trauma coming through.
At the birth of your first child.
Yeah.
How quickly until someone said Father Christmas to you?
Oh, straight away, the midwife. Straight away.
Really?
Yeah. Like my daughter's head was barely out of being inside my wife. Father Christmas. Yeah. Another one was she said, it was with my youngest who's born in February. She said, it's only February and you've got your very own Christmas present.
That was a bit weak, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
That would annoy me. That would annoy me.
But I was totally emotional. I've been away, you know, I've been with my wife every minute while she was going through labor. She was Rocky Balboa-ing it all the way through.
And you've got you've got a great beard.
Thank you.
And currently, and I'm not saying it won't be for a good while yet, it is jet black stroke brown.
Yeah. Are you suggesting something, Josh?
What colour is it going to go, Josh?
Well, when it loses its colour and you've got a big white beard and you're called Christmas, are you going to lean into it at that point?
Mate, Christmas time, I'm going to ride on the back of trucks in a red jumper with a Coca-Cola. That's how much I'm going to lean into it.
If you grow the hair and the beard, that is...
A mate of mine a while back said to me that his son, who was at that time maybe 5 years old, at Christmas time, they were talking about Father Christmas, and he said, is your mate Jared going to come around to give us presents? And the disappointment in his voice, my mate was going, it would have been the worst thing ever. He said, I was hoping that you'd just knock on the door at that point and my son would just be like, ugh, Christmas sucks.
You have to lean it.
If it's positive, you can pick up the vibe. If someone's being a dickhead, then you just shut them down, right?
I'm going to say, I didn't expect we'd get as much out of Christmas as we did.
Mate, if someone's being a dickhead...
That wasn't me and Rob talking after the interview.
We thought we were going to get 5 minutes and that was it.
We've done our time and I still don't think we spoke about your kids properly, Jared. We'll have to get
you
in for a third time.
We never do. There's too many distractions.
Sorry.
Look, my kids are great.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas. Goodbye.
We won't hold you up anymore because you've got a day off now with your wife and kids.
It doesn't matter. I'm in the toilet, mate. I usually spend this amount of time in the toilet. Do you guys do that? Do you take devices into the bathroom?
Oh, yeah.
I'd struggle to sit on the toilet without a phone now.
Yeah. Weird, isn't it? Because I didn't take... I guess it's the equivalent of...
A book.
You know, a book. When people have a book next to the toilet, I used to always think, who the fuck is reading on the toilet?
Oh, I love it.
And now I'm the guy
toilet.
Sitting there scrolling through.
I scroll. I used a little footstool that the kids have to get off on the toilet as my little poo angler. Because you should have your knees higher and your bum, shouldn't you?
Yeah.
So I've been doing that. That's quite, I like that. And it flies out of me. What are you doing on your day off with the kids tomorrow?
Well, they're at school, last day of school.
Oh.
Yeah. But then I've got Friday night, and then I'll leave at about 9 o'clock Saturday morning. So.
Lovely. You'll have loads of time off in Jan. And then February the 15th, 11 a.m., South Bank Centre.
Get tickets.
Jared, thank you so much for coming on, mate.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, guys.
That's brilliant. Thanks, mate. Good luck with the show.
Thanks, team.
Cheers, mate. Jared Christmas there. Oh,
there's Jared. And we better go because it's 9:30 p.m. on Thursday, the 15th of December. And this episode's got to go out on Friday, the 16th of December. And Michael's got to edit it. Good luck, Michael.
Oh, God. Oh, Michael.
Love Jared. Go and see his show. It's absolutely brilliant. Great tip for half term in London and in Leicester. Josh, I'll speak to you soon.
Yeah, bye.